This is the Office Manager Diaries, a podcast all about the highs and the lows of professionals in office management around the world. We'll delve into their career journeys and diaries where they'll share their stories, tips for success, and only things office managers understand. Enjoy, and please remember to give us a follow. Hi everyone, welcome back to our next episode of the Office Manager Diaries. I'm your host Hannah Gray, and today I am at very short notice, I'm going to acknowledge, joined by Rena Noto, who is the Office Manager at Headway Capital Partners. Hi Rena.
Hi Hannah, thank you for having me.
Honestly, thank you so much for joining us, because it was short notice. We booked this yesterday, so I really do appreciate you coming on and giving up your time today, and we're both bitterly cold, we've just been talking about as well. Your heating's not up to scratch and I'm sitting in a cold pod, so we're wrapped up in layers. To start off with, Rena, can you please share with us a little bit about you and your role?
Yeah, of course. I've been at Headway for almost 19 years as office manager and PA to the directors. At the time, we were just a team of five, including me. I've seen the company grow over the years, and we're now a team of 20, so progressing very well. And we deal with private equity and secondaries and co-investments. And we've just last year closed our fifth fund, and we're going to start looking to raise the next one soon. My role changes every day, so it's challenging. My day depends on what the whole team are doing generally. But as of today, my first, is tackling things like the air conditioning and day-to-day role. So it includes travel and planning events. We are hosting three webinars this afternoon, so we've just had to get them set up. Also having a health and safety audit this morning. Got that, everything in place for that. So yeah, every day does depend on what the team are doing with regards to their challenges that they pass on to me to help with. So it's very varied.
Yeah, as these roles often are, and that's why we tend to like them as well, right? I mean, you've been there for such a long time. What do you think makes an individual stay with an organisation and have that kind of longevity, nearly 19 years like you have?
The people in the team is key, really, enjoying who you work with and for. I think that's an important role. And the fact that it's varied makes it a bit more exciting. That sometimes whatever you plan to do that day just gets thrown out the window, because then you have to just concentrate on the here and now, and prioritising things is always key. I think that the role is varied and the team are a good team to work for. We're quite small. Yeah, we'll get on. And I think that's very key when you're working so many hours in an office with people. You need to wake up and think, yeah, I'm going in and it's going to be a good day, rather than I just can't bear going in. I wouldn't want that on anybody. Wish that on anyone.
People do make it, don't they? I think when you're in a good organisation, if you have wanted, I think I said to you in the training courses we've been doing, the longest I've ever been in a role is this company now for 8 years. And I think I talked about it actually on the last podcast with Heidi, but prior to then it was 3.5 years at JP Morgan. And, that's a huge company. So you can't really get to know everybody that well, but it is people. If you're around people that you like, respect you, you respect them. It's a relationship at the end of the day. And where there's only 20 of you, it's quite small, right? You all must know quite a lot about each other and have to interact. So it has to work.
That's right. And being here for so long, I'm kind of like the hub. I'm the jewel of everything. Where everyone, if they don't know the answer to something, they will come to me. Because if I don't know the answer, I can point them in the right direction. So that's quite a special feeling, really, to feel needed. It's an important role being an office manager as well, and being able to help everyone that's around when they need it.
Yeah. Well, that leads on to the next question, actually, which is the role itself. I mean, why are you still doing office management and assistant work so many years on? What has kept you in that role? You've just said there the variety, being the go-to, that kind of beating heart, as we like to call it, of the office. What else draws you to the role and keeps you in it?
I've got more involved with the health and safety for the company now as well, and I'm really enjoying that, just making sure that we're ticking all the right boxes. And that's challenging in itself, making sure that the office is safe for everyone to work with, just finishing my DSEs for everybody that we've covered in the course as well recently. So I find that's enjoyable. And I do now have a team assistant that's really helpful, and she's taken on the everyday kind of tasks that people want from me. So that's given me the time that I can really control and spend in dealing with the suppliers and the maintenance and running the office and that side of things, I'm enjoying more and challenging.
And the challenges is what you like, and that's what keeps you in the role as well, is it, by the sounds of it?
Yes, and there's always something else to think about, and just widening my knowledge. You know, laws keep changing out there, and it's nice to be on top of things and be proactive rather than reactive in this role, especially.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, always the better approach. East Saxon Training is a long-standing partner of the Office Management Group and a proud sponsor for this week's episode. David Hewitt, the owner of EST, has developed an excellent reputation among our office management members. He delivers fire warden training, office first aid training, and fire risk assessments, as well as general health and safety consultancy. And David's always happy to help with any health and safety related queries, especially within the Office Management Portal. In 2023, East Saxon Training were voted by their customers as the Office Management Service Provider of the Year winner in our awards program. And with over 200 five-star recommendations, you know you're in good hands with them. If you want to find out more about the support and services they offer, visit www.eastsaxontraining.com or find them in the Office Management Portal. And thank you to East Saxon Training for supporting this podcast. So how do you go about building and maintaining positive relationships with your colleagues and other stakeholders within that office environment? What does that look like for you on a daily basis to maintain those relationships and keep things positive?
Yes, well, we have an open office and a nice kitchen area. So, you know, everyone can have lunch together or coffee chats. So it's just really important just to stay on top, say hi. Actually, when I come in, I actually more or less say hello to everybody that's in the office as I walk around. I think that's important just to lift their spirits. But yeah, we have lunches, team lunches once a month. Like, you know, every Tuesday we have a full office. We do that. And I think it's important to have some kind of social aspect as well with the team and try and do that. So we try and do some charity work together as well quarterly. Yeah, it just builds, I think, knowing that there's a friendly office and everyone does get on and everyone is approachable, and I like to make myself approachable, that if there is an issue that they can come to me and we can assist or help them and put them in the right direction.
Because culture is such a big thing in companies and organizations, but how do you think it is in terms of hiring the right people? Because it could just take one wrong person to come into that company and then you've got a toxic environment, you've got unhappy people because one person is just not clicking and gelling with the others, or they're causing issues or whatever it might be. How does the company manage that and deal with trying to get people into the organization that actually will fit essentially with the culture that already exists? Do you have anything to do with that?
I don't deal with the hiring, but I do see that when we have hired, the interview process, you know, there's quite a few rounds of interview process, but, you know, from the people that they will work with day to day, you know, for the first ones in formal chats, and then it goes up to meeting the management team. And I think fit is very important. And that's why they all do like to meet the, you know, the candidates and get the right feel for the person before offering any role. So they do, yeah, like I said, there's a few interviews that they do, and everyone kind of gets to meet them. And we also, when a candidate has accepted the job, before they start, we do arrange a drinks night so they can get to meet the whole team as well before actually starting. It just kind of breaks the ice for when they join on the first day.
That is such a good, but actually a really unique thing. I've not heard of any companies doing that before, and it is probably what sets the tone, right, in terms of someone coming in and that being that relaxed, friendly environment where you socialize but you also work hard. Yeah, there's probably a really nice, I don't know, starting point for them there, an entry level or an entry way or route for them to feel relaxed and comfortable and, yeah, not walk in. Because we all remember that first day in these roles, right? I mean, you've been there for a long time, so I've had a few first days in that 19 years that you've been there, but you're nervous generally and you don't know what to expect. You don't know what people are going to be like, bar the people that you've had in fairly structured formal interview settings. So I think that's an amazing way, especially in a company of your size, to really just let people flow into the rhythm and the door and meet people.
Yeah, we've recently taken on a few over the past couple of years as the company has really grown, and we now have one of our partners hosts a team barbecue at his house. So we know office closes, we all go there. So that's been an opportunity for a couple of new recruits to come along as well. It's just fallen in time that where they've been recruited and the team barbecue. So it's a really relaxed atmosphere, and they get to chat to everyone, and it's gone down well. So, and this annual barbecue, I think it's going to be happening a few more years to come, I hope.
Yeah, it's a regular occurrence now. Well, speaking of socials, it is coming up to year end. What is that looking like for you in terms of work? What sort of things are you doing as we head towards the festive season in particular? Have you got a party planned, and who organised it, and what's on?
Yes, we do. We have a Christmas lunch in 2 weeks' time, actually, which is fun. We like to have private dining rooms, and so we get together. So I've organised that. I kind of like searched around for venues that can accommodate there's actually 21 of us for the Christmas lunch this year, and it's fun going out and looking at the restaurants as well, right? To see what their rooms are like. So I really enjoy that part of the process. So yeah, we're looking forward to that. We always do a Secret Santa if I'm before a game where you roll a dice, you've got 15 minutes to play a game, and you shift the parcel to the right, left, you shift it to the right, you take a shot. That goes down well. But yeah, it's quite fun.
I love that. And is it a really busy time for you this time of year? Is it trying to sort of sort out budgets and things for next year and plan 2025? Or is it more relaxed and where you can start, like you say, doing your health and safety audit and getting other things in line so that you have a bit of downtime and can actually look at what else has been on your to-do list for the rest of the year and now finally start getting it done? What's it like?
Yes, yeah, exactly. It's steady at this time of year for me, actually. As I said, I'm just getting everything wrapped, with the health and safety that's wrapped up. And the team are always kind of busy themselves because lots of, for what they do, things have to be trying to be done by the end of the year. There could actually be a bit more travel to plan for them. But my role exactly, it's just preparing for the next year. We've got a couple of projects going on, big investor meetings to plan for, and that takes time. So in this, when it is a little bit quiet for me, this is a time where I'd like to source and look at venues and what we can do for the forthcoming year.
I always found the same. This sort of mid-November to end of December was a time when I could just get some stuff off my list. I could, yeah, it was steady. Things didn't stop coming into my inbox by any means, but it wasn't manic and crazy. No one really did any projects around this time of year either. So, yeah, it was when I could finally do some things that were on my list for a while.
Christmas week, no one wants to, everyone wants to just this, it's kind of calm, so yeah. So I'm looking forward to that.
Exactly, yeah. It's the only time of year that I can actually take off in my company as well. Like I switch off at Christmas completely. So yeah, I can't wait. So what have been your greatest challenges in your office management career, and how have you tackled those?
Big office moves are the most challenging for me. I've had to do three in the time that I've been at Headway. So it's just the whole organization. You need a spreadsheet, don't you, to enter and have a good team of people around you, like IT team that know what they're doing, the removal people know what they're doing and have everything on board. So I found that challenging because having to pack everything up falls on me mainly, which is quite hard. And it's behind the scenes. People are just told on moving day, look, just work from home. But I'm the one that's going backwards and forwards to each office and making sure that things get put in their place. That's the challenge, real big challenge. But I've always worked out very well. So, and from office moves, I think the IT things are always challenging, aren't they? Just to make sure you've got internet connection and phone lines operational over that weekend so that everyone can come in. It's always been people leave at the office on a Friday where they are and then come in on Monday and they're in a brand new office ready to work. So I've enjoyed them, but I've also said I don't know if I'll be still be here with the next one. I might be retired by then. So like, please make it a long lease.
Yeah, find someone else to do your next move. It's funny, isn't it? As regular listeners on this podcast will know, I love office moves. I think it's a really good way to get to know your company, get to get involved and showcase the best of what you can do. But it is disruptive. And I think that piece about being there behind the scenes and the running back and forth between the old and the new offices, because if you are doing it on your own and there's no one to help you now, like you say, you've got an office assistant, so it might get easier next time. But you can't just leave the old office when you've got contractors there not knowing what to take and what to leave and what to do with this or that or whatever. But then you've got people probably on the other side of it where they're starting to unpack stuff and unload lorries or, and it's really hard, but you certainly get your steps in on those days. Like the last move I did in the summer, I was like over 20,000 steps in the day. So it was great. That's my silver lining. Get your steps in, do an office move, get your steps in.
Yeah, luckily we've stayed in the same kind of area. So the offices, you know, all the offices are around a 10-15 minute walk each. But yeah, but plenty of steps because they're going backwards and forwards in their vans and I'm on foot. So yeah.
And just the running around you do though, like, because I don't sit still. I'm like pushing chairs into place and pedestals and like unpacking the filing and going back and forth. It just, yeah, I love doing an office move. I used to take my dog in with me to them because she'd love just running around the offices as well. So it was always good. What then, Rena, do you believe are the most important skills to have in one's toolkit to do this office management role? And why would you say so?
Got to be patient, I think. It's one of the things, but, you know, just know how to organise your life and how to organise people. So, you know, because a lot of people do need guidance to meetings and things. So I think you need to be clear-headed and but also happy. If you enjoy what you're doing, you'll do it with a passion, and that's the reward in itself, really. But yeah, toolkits, yeah, be happy.
Just be happy, people. Yeah. Just be happy, organised. Yeah, no, it's good. It's like there's so many skills needed for this role, I think. But yeah, we talk about it, the self-motivation, that happiness. You have to enjoy what you do, because if you don't, it's going to get to you, and it's going to get to you really quickly. And you've got to be, you're very visible, as we know. We've talked about that before on the podcast, where everybody comes to you. You've said it as well. You're the go-to person. So if you're not happy in your job and you're miserable and you're waking up going, I don't want to be there, then it's probably not the role for you, is it? And you're not going to be successful at it and have that passion that you mentioned as well. Let's talk inspiration now. So I personally have followed a few founders throughout my sort of newer career in being an entrepreneur versus the historical career of an office manager for a while, and find that they give me a pick me up quite frequently when I need it and remind me to keep going or doing this or trying that. Who or what is your go-to for inspiration, perhaps personally and or professionally, Rena?
That's a toughie. I don't really listen to any sort of podcasts and things. I mean, I'm into my fitness, and there's a woman I follow that's inspirational with regards to diets and fitness. And I listen to her. She's always got something good in inspirational saying. And I like Davina. I love Davina McCall, actually. I think she's an inspiration. You know, raising awareness for lots of causes. And I find her an inspiration, actually.
Yeah, she's incredible, actually, isn't she? And she's, fingers crossed, I'm assuming you've followed the news lately where she's...
Yeah, she's doing well, apparently. So yeah, that's good, yeah.
Yeah, she's doing well. So fingers crossed. I doubt she will ever listen to this podcast, but we'll think of Davina if anyone else is a fan out there. But yeah, I really respect her and rate her. I think she's brilliant. This week I wanted to share with you some tips on joiners and leavers, and I think it's so basic, but so many people don't do it. So here goes. With all your joiners, first and foremost, make sure that you have trackers set up so that you can track exactly what needs to be done for every person coming into your business, from ensuring they have a desk, or if you're on a hot desking system, to ensuring that they are set up on the hot desking system and they've got the instructions and information on your hybrid policy and how to use that system. So making sure they've got keys or codes or access passes to the office, that their photo has been taken and given to security, if that's how it goes, that the reception downstairs and your reception in your space know that these joiners are coming. So what we would call joiner welcome emails, where we announce who is coming in that Monday, so everybody knows to expect them and they can get that wonderful welcome, not the, oh, we didn't know you were starting today, which nobody likes getting. To telephones, mobiles, equipment, laptops, asset tagging it and logging that equipment if you do that kind of thing with your kit, tracking who the line manager is, any assistants that are allocated to them, making sure they've got a welcome pack, they've had their logins. There is so much that you can track on this tracker with joiners. And making sure that when they start, you or someone from your office or facilities management team is getting out there and saying hi to them, giving them a very quick induction tour of the building, showing showing them all the very basic health and safety and workplace regulatory stuff, such as where drinking water is, where the toilets are, where they can wash their hands, where they can store food and have rest breaks and eat their food away from their desk, as well as then fire exits and exit routes, the assembly point, the health and safety notice board, which we should all have up, and any particular procedures or actions or things that you want them to understand, such as where the stationery cupboard is or how to use your big floor standing MFD printers and where the paper stock is, and all of these things that you know about your business and are really important to proactively share with your joiners. On the reverse side with leavers, the same. So we want that tracker in place to show everything we need to do in reverse to take that person off the company and remove them essentially from the company and all the software subscriptions, access pass removal, IT access removal and asset returns, release their system, release their desk, whatever it might be, take them off floor plans if you've got fixed floor plans and static desks. There's a whole, again, host an array of things that you can do here to manage those out. And if you have a little bit of an HR hat or even just in office management, you may, and certainly I would recommend, send a leaver email to them saying, really sorry to hear that you're leaving, all the best with your new role, etc. Just try and keep that and maintain that bridge with these people. One, because it's a really good reputational thing for your company, but two, actually personally for you, because you never ever know where you're going to end up and who you may come face to face with again in future roles, and who will remember you for these things as well and recommend you if you're ever stuck in your career. So yeah, do it all in reverse and go and meet with them, you know, collect their equipment in person if you can and say goodbye. It doesn't have to be anything too time consuming, but set that up so you can be the most proactive office manager where joiners and leavers are concerned. Okay, so let's hear now then from your office manager diary, your you won't believe it but moment, please.
I've got a couple. I think most of these kind of things always happen in the kitchen, don't they? But I'm very particular with my kitchen. I call it my kitchen in the office. It always has been. There's always a Arena's Rules laminated on the side, like, you know, use a dishwasher, don't leave anything in the sink, blah, 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 keep it clean. But there was one day, I think we had some investors coming in, so, and it was very tender hurts because obviously you had to make a good impression. And I decided to go and make myself my Green Goddess movie in the kitchen because I still had time. So there I am putting my avocados in, my spinach, everything else, and thinking, yeah, this is really cool. And I put the lid on, and then what I didn't realize was that the lid wasn't on properly, and suddenly everything went everywhere as soon as I pressed the go button. So I had green speckles on the floor, they locked the worktop over the fridge. Luckily didn't get my clothes, but I had to do a quick, because we like to show investors the whole office when they come in, so I had to clean that up. So it's not really cool when I'm moaning at everyone to keep an office, a kitchen clean, and I'll create such a mess. So yeah, learned my lesson on that one. Don't do food in the office. And recently, you know, we have entry passes, and one girl came to me very sheepishly and said, Rena, I said, I need a new pass. I said, all right, what have you done with it? She said, it's gone down the toilet. I said, how the hell did you manage that? She said, oh, I left it on the side, and as I got up, it just slipped in. I'm right, okay. So, I said, you're going to have to wait. Yeah, so okay. Who would do that? But it does happen. So,
had it actually flushed? Had it gone?
Well, I think she couldn't do anything with it, so I think she flushed it and it went kind of down. Yeah, I think it went like to a bit that she couldn't dig it out, so I left it there.
Can you imagine working in the sewerage like companies and seeing the crap that comes out, like literally the crap, but also literally things like that where it's like someone's access pass. What did we have the other week? Oh no, that was in the sanitary bin, wasn't it? Where someone put their access pass in the sanitary bin. But you know, you're like,
I heard that.
Yeah, that was, I think that was Heidi from our last episode. A boss had some obviously gender neutral toilet.
He was throwing some other rubbish away, right? Or something, I think. Yeah.
I don't know.
She had her phone there in the pass and it slipped. Because I think it was on the sanitary bin, but it kind of like went through it. So I didn't want to ask too many questions. All I knew was just referring to the pass.
Yeah, it's best not to. Right, well, really excitingly, I can't wait for this. We've got so many things lined up for next year. So again, if you listeners are not a member of the Office Management Portal and not getting involved in everything we have to offer, I cannot implore you enough to join and to have a look at it. But You, Rena, are joining us on our very first members retreat at the wonderful Down Hall Hotel and Spa in Essex with Potting Shed Events too, who are doing all the magic behind the scenes for us to make it happen. How important is it for you to have these kind of events and a network like this? And what are the benefits of that for you and for your business as well?
Oh, yeah, I'm super excited about going, actually. So, yeah, when that came through, I was like, yes, I'm definitely going to that. I think it would be fun to meet other people in similar roles and feed from them as well. You know, it's nice to, you know, discuss with big peers how I run things here and how they do things I can take away from them or make my own suggestions to them and recommendations. So I think it's important just to, because no one, unless you're an office manager or PA, no one really knows how much work you do do. You know, you're just there and you make things happen, don't you, behind the scenes, and that, you know, they ask me and you do it, you throw it back at them, but they don't realize sometimes how hard it is to keep the office going. They just turn up to their desks and there they go, they're happy, but don't realize all the hard work I did to get them to that desk. And so I'm looking forward to hopefully meeting some new, there's going to be some suppliers there and some contacts there that can help me going forward and help me grow the company here and support my team here.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be a really nice couple of days essentially to share and to connect with others. And yeah, you can take tips and support and advice and share all of the same with everybody. And yeah, just relax and enjoy it, but around people that get what we do and understand the pressures and isolation of these roles as well. So yeah, I cannot wait for that. So what's it like there in terms of hybrid working in the office versus working from home? What do Headway do and how are you involved with that whole process and the policy around it?
We asked the team to come in a minimum of 3 days into the office and 2 from home. I mean, we have some people, the team members, that actually would rather be in the office, so they're welcome and to come in, obviously. But it's a good balance, I think. And Tuesday is a day that everyone is asked to come in because our partners travel into London weekly, and Tuesday is a day that everyone is in, which is good for meetings and face-to-faces, because sometimes, you know, you interrupt them or, you know, slacking them, you've got time for a call. So it's nice just to be able to walk over and have a chat with them. And yes, I mean, because obviously when we went into the COVID lockdown, everyone was able to work from home. So, and we were already with Zoom, so transitioning the phones and videos and everything worked well for us. Yeah, so that was part of my role then, just to making sure everyone had everything they can work from home. And recently just done the home risk assessments as well. You know, I will update them yearly, so they've had their forms to fill in. So yeah, it works well.
Yeah. Do you go in every day or are you on a 3-2 as well? What do you prefer?
I'm on a 3-2, but it always does depend. I mean, sometimes I have been in 5 days a week purely because of, you know, the partners being in, meetings being in. I don't have 3 set days. Some people just have their 3 days that, you know, that when they're going to be in. I do flip depending on maintenance situations that come into the office. It's my role, it's my job, so I make sure that I'm here for when, you know, maintenance is going on and when the partners are in and when specific meetings are being held and I'm needed. So I do try to do the 3-2, but sometimes it's not possible.
Yeah, flexibility, isn't it? I mean, you've got to be flexible in these roles. I still can't believe it when I've recruited office managers in the last couple of years for some of the clients that I have. And even though it's advertised as a 5-day in the office role, it really surprises me that people apply for it. Like, I had someone once apply for a London office manager role from Wales. Yeah, but I can do it here. And I'm like, no, you can't. No, you freaking can't. You need to be in the office like every day the client wants you in, because they've got 70 people in that office, so it's quite busy. But and I'm like, if the coffee machine goes, who fixes it? Well, you ask someone else. You know, because that's your job. They've got other work to do. You have to be flexible. You have to still prioritize what's needed in that space and in line with your work, don't you? But it is nice that you get to do 3-2, because not every office manager listening to this will be able to. But then some don't want to either. I spoke to someone yesterday who said, I want to be in the office 5 days a week. I don't want to be at home. I'd rather be in the office because it just suits me.
Yeah, everyone's situation is different, right? Some people like being home, some people like being in the office. So my team assistant is doing 5 days in the office, and which is why I can do the 2 from home, really. But, you know, there has to be some cover there as well. It's working well so far, and I'm enjoying that, and it's nice.
Yeah, and the more senior you get in your role, I think that comes with it, because you do need these strategic days. Like, even before hybrid working was a thing, there were times when I'd work from home once or twice a month, but I had 6, 7, whatever people on the ground, few on reception, few in sort of office junior roles, maintenance, facilities management, cleaning, whatever, to do the stuff on the ground. And the same thing again, I wouldn't work from home on days when I should really be in there. So yeah, it works well. Okay, one last question for you then, please, Rena. Can you share with us your words of wisdom? How do you stay happy and motivated in your office management role?
Just to be open-minded, and you need to be motivated, open-minded, and keen to help. You know, and I think if you have those qualities, the day just goes by, doesn't it? I think to see the reward when you have achieved something, achieved a successful offsite or Christmas lunch, when you get the pat on the back saying, thanks, we know, could have done it without you. That's good. So just take pride in what you do and you will get the rewards and people will appreciate you being there, really.
Yeah. How would you encourage someone to be open-minded if they're not? Like, what does that look like for you in terms of being open-minded, and how can someone open their mind up more?
I think to ask questions, and don't be afraid to ask if you need help, really, as well. I mean, I always say everyone has an answer, and if you don't know the answer, find someone that can give you the answer, because you know, in the industry we work in, we're dealing with people that have different personalities and different temperaments as well, and it's hard, because if you know how you can speak to someone, you know, you can't, and deal with them. Not everyone's the same, so you have to just have a different head on to, you know, you're speaking to this particular person and they need a little bit more tender loving care, and I find sometimes, and sometimes I think I deal with people as they deal with me, so I think you have to be approachable. That's a key thing as well, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. People need to come to you, don't they?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on the Office Manager Diaries with me again at such short notice. I really appreciate it.
Thanks.
And I'll see you tomorrow on the training course.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
This episode is sponsored by the Office Management Portal, our free online membership platform aimed at connecting, supporting, and empowering office managers in a simple to use, all-in-one self-service resource. You can sign up right now at www.theofficemanagementportal.com and click the sign up button in the top right. If you want to upgrade your account to our premium membership at any time for unlimited downloadable templates and monthly expert masterclasses, use the code THEOMD for 25% off. That's THEOMD for Office Manager Diaries for 25% off. Thank you for listening.